Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. On this week's program, in the second half, Kathy Hart will be talking to Andrew Patterson about hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Coming up before that, we will have Alan Wishart speaking with Alexis Brink about the art of Jinshin, that's healing at your fingertips. But before we get to Alan, here's this week's health news. Researchers say two-thirds of hospitalized pneumonia patients may be prescribed antibiotics for too long, increasing their risk for potentially harmful side effects. In 93% of cases, patients received an overprescription of antibiotics upon being discharged from hospital. The new study examined the medical records of 6,500 pneumonia patients treated at 43 Michigan hospitals. According to a research team led by Dr. Valerie Vaughn of the University of Michigan, the more days of antibiotics a patient received beyond the recommended minimum, the higher the risk of experiencing side effects such as upset stomach or yeast infections. The study was published June 8th in the journal Annals of Internal Medicine. Recent fertility clinic mix-ups involving three families have sparked lawsuits against a Los Angeles center and concern among those seeking fertility treatment or hoping to do so. According to the lawsuit, a couple from Glendale, California, claimed clinic workers implanted their embryo into the wrong woman who gave birth to their son and another son in New York. The New York woman's babies reportedly turned out to be not genetically hers and not related to each other. According to its answering service, the CHA Fertility Clinic, the target of the lawsuits, was closed when contacted, and officials there did not respond to a request for comment. New research suggests if you trim out only 300 calories a day, the equivalent of six Oreo cookies, that could be all it takes to cut diabetes and heart disease risk. In the study, just over 200 adults younger than 50 with a healthy weight or just a few extra pounds were told to reduce their calorie intake by 25% for 2 years. Their ability to achieve that goal varied, and the average calorie reduction in the group was about 12%. Even so, they managed a 10% decline in weight, 71% of which was fat. The end results were impressive. Significant improvements were seen in already good levels of cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, and other markers of risk for metabolic disease. The volunteers also had lower levels of a biomarker for chronic inflammation, which has been linked to heart disease, cancer, and mental decline. The study was published July 11th in the journal The Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology. A rabies warning was issued for Walt Disney World Resort and the surrounding area after a rabid cat scratched two employees. USA Today reported the 60-day warning was issued by the Florida Department of Health in Orange County for a 2-mile radius of the intersection of Interstate 4 and Epcot Center Drive, which includes Disney's Epcot Center theme park. Laboratory tests confirmed rabies in the cat, which scratched two cast members. According to Disney World spokeswoman Erica Ettore, they did not contract rabies. Because the cat may have spread rabies to other animals, the Florida Department of Health advises people in the affected area to avoid stray cats and dogs as well as wildlife. So far, the cat is the only rabid animal that's been found in the area.
Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
A lot of times with health and needs, we have to go through very esoteric ways of doing it, even to help ourselves. But my first guest today is someone who can tell us all about there's a type of healing that is literally right at your fingertips. Speaking today with Alexis Brink, the author of The Art of Jinshin, Healing, the Japanese Practice of Healing with Your Fingertips. Hello, Alexis.
Hi, nice to be here.
So now, you have been, you're the president of Jinshin Institute in New York City. You've been a practitioner of the art of Jinshin for almost 30 years now. I guess my first question, to some extent, is what possessed you to do a book?
So what possessed me to do a book is because that the art of Jinshin or Jinshin Jitsu, it's very little known and it's very effective. It's a form of energy. It's a form of energy healing and energy medicine, and it's very similar to acupuncture, but instead of needles, we use our hands, and it's extremely effective. And like you said, I've been practicing for almost 30 years, and I just want to. It's our mission of the Institute to open up the art to the world, so that it won't get lost, and that young generations have an opportunity to learn about it.
So when you talk to people about Jinsen Jitsu, do you sometimes think they're having a problem confusing it with possibly martial arts that have very similar names?
Yes, and that's why I called it The Art of Jinsen, as I'm really wrote this book for anybody who has never heard of it. Anybody can pick this book up. I thought The Art of Jinsen is just easier to remember because jitsu actually means art, and it was born in Japan, this art, and the person, Jiro Murai, who put this system together from ancient records, he called it Jinsen Jitsu, and so now to make it easier accessible for anybody, I thought The Art of Jinsen, just the translation of jitsu, makes it easier, because it took me a whole week and a whole workshop to even pronounce it correctly. So I thought, yes.
So now, how did you... Okay, let's go back one step. In layman's language, what is the art of Jinsen? How does it work?
So that's two good questions. Like I said, it's a form of energy medicine. It comes from Japan, and it's based on the principle that energy needs to flow uninterruptedly in the body. So the energy flows down the front of the body with our exhale from head to toe, where it at the toes becomes the inhale, which is the energy up the back. And so because of our lifestyle or environmental problems or diet or stress, or genetic predispositions we come into the world with, sometimes the energy gets stagnated because certain areas in the body, and we can talk about that a little bit later, certain areas get blocked. And so by placing your hand on specific locations, you open up these blockages and the energy can free flow and the body can heal itself.
So now, if you do Jinsen on an area where there has been a blockage, is that it? Like, the blockage is now gone forever? Or is that something you maybe have to keep a bit of an eye on yourself, knowing that there's a good chance that there will be future blockages at that same site?
Well, yes, it can be, or it can also be a different site. I also give sessions. We have a wellness center here in New York, and a part of the practice is the self-help, and then another part is receiving sessions from a practitioner. So we work with very specific flow patterns, which are in the book. So they're very simple holds, from holding fingers to more comprehensive flow patterns, which are sequences of steps. And so as we change on a daily basis, the blockages may change too. So once the energy starts to move in the body, it really doesn't go back to where it was before, as we're always renewing anyway.
So you do a particular flow pattern, if you will, one day, and the next day, the one thing you can be fairly sure of is doing that same flow pattern is not going to have probably the same effect because the energy in the body has changed.
Yes, it does always change. However, there are certain flow patterns that are for daily maintenance. Like, for example, the simplest ones is holding the fingers. And you harmonize the emotional attitudes through holding the fingers, plus two organ functions, or, for example, digestion, eyes, fatigue, the lungs, different things. So certain days you may have more fear in your life and other days you have more worry. So if you worry a lot, you can hold your thumb. Or if you have a lot of anxiety, you can hold your index finger. So that in and of itself already can change on a daily basis or even at certain parts of the day where certain feelings come up. So we work with feelings as well, with the emotional attitudes, we call them. If they're not moving and they get stuck. So we want them to move, and by holding the fingers, you can move them energetically.
Now, in the literature that I've seen on it, the body has 52 points called safety energy locations, 26 on each side of the body. Do those 26 correspond to each other? Like if there's one on my left shoulder, just as an example, will there be one at the corresponding point on my right shoulder?
Well, the right side has to do with our lifestyle, and the left side of our body has to do more with genetic or older projects. And by the way, we call problems, we turn them into projects because they're fun and we work with them. So not necessarily. You see, it's really balancing the right side and the left side of the body. So there's always going to be one side that feels tighter. And the art of Jinshin, it's really a study about getting to know and help yourself. So you start to understand where the need is, and your body starts to talk to you in a different way as you become aware practicing this art.
So the first big thing to do when you want to get into Jinshin is not just know where the 52 safety energy locations are, but also learn what your body is trying to tell you.
Well, a lot of people, they do have symptoms. I mean, some people have headaches or backaches or anxiety or high blood pressure. And so in the back of the book, I have 70 symptoms that I put a picture with. So it's very easy to access, and it's just one hold. So you place your right hand, let's say, on the upper arm and your left hand on the opposite inside of the knee. And that's it. And that will help to relieve that symptom or that condition, and the energy starts to flow. Wherever you place your hands, then the energy starts to flow in the body. So also you cannot really go wrong. And another interesting thing is that it's really an innate part of us. If you think about it, and I was talking about the fingers before, a baby, they tend to suck their thumb. Mm-hmm. And so they're actually helping naturally their digestion and the stomach and spleen energy, and that's exactly what the baby needs. Or we place a hand on our shoulder just to relieve that stress in the shoulder area, which can be caused by stress. You know, so things like that, we use it anyway. So Jinshin really just brings an awareness to what we already know and maybe have forgotten. But you see people holding certain things all the time. Sometimes I take a picture of something when I see it on the street, or, you know, it's interesting.
So now, I understand it then, the Jinshin doesn't have to be skin to skin. You can be pressing the point through your clothes. If you're at work during the day and you're starting to feel stress, you don't have to, like, take your shirt off to find the correct point.
Yes, actually, it does go through clothing. People, even when they come for a session, they're fully clothed. And you could also even do it through a cast, because energy is just not limited to just the touch. But yes, in Jinshin, we touch the body. And you can do it over a material or anything. And what happens is when you hold something, when you place your hand, let's say, you place your left hand over your right shoulder, and you hold it gently, you feel pulsation coming up in that place. And the pulsation may be at first very quiet and then start to become louder, or even like scream and like I need attention, and then starts to settle down. And that's actually that the energy is spiraling and that the energy is moving.
So now, how much pressure is involved with Jinshin? Is it more just a touch, or is there, you actually have to put pressure on the points that you're reaching?
Yes, you don't put pressure on the points, because that kind of stops the natural process of the energy spiraling all the way from skin surface to core. It spirals all the way to core, and that's one of the reasons why it is so effective, and then spirals back out to the surface. So you want to gently hold it, but sometimes it does feel tight, and that's because that safety energy location is congested, and that's why it feels tight. Or like if I work on somebody, it may feel like I'm pressing, but I'm actually not, because that area is tight. It's like a little traffic jam, and when you hold it, it kind of resolves.
So basically, then I may be totally off on this, but it sounds as if with Jinshin, what you're doing is you're sort of reconnecting the circuits of the body from one point to another. The circuit that's in place right now is tight. So you, as you say, you maybe put your right hand your left hand up over your right shoulder, and you just touch that point, and it gives the energy a new route to travel to alleviate the problem.
Yes, and that's why it doesn't just work on a symptom level. It actually goes to the cause of the project. And also we use both our hands that we apply sometimes to, you hold the point where it hurts, and then you place your other hand on an area below the waist to give it an escape route. Because if you think about the energy moving all throughout the body, down the front and up the back, we're not, you know, for example, if somebody has a headache or a depression, it means the energy is stuck above the waist, it's stuck in the head, and so you want to bring the energy down. So you can hold your big toes to bring the energy down, or hold the points on the inside of your knees. So that's a big principle of it as well.
Okay. Alexis, we're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk some more about the art of Jinshin on Health First.